Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 18th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks fall as earnings season gets off to a rocky start.
Shares of Netflix tumble after the company loses U.S. subscribers.
Earnings in Europe disappoint as results from SAP and Richemont fall short.
And trade talks between the U.S. and China stall.
Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. shot itself in the foot for pulling out of the 2015 nuclear accord. Plus, President Trump continues his attacks against freshman lawmakers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees and Rays both lost to Mother Nature. Mets sweep first place Minnesota, and golf's Open Championship is underway.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures and European stocks are tracking losses in Asia today. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 7 points. Dow futures down 81. NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. The CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell about 2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.25% or 13 cents at $56.65 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $14.23.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1238 against the dollar and the yen 107.74. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with an earnings report from Netflix that fell short of estimates. Shares are down 11% in early trading after the company reported a drop in U.S. customers and slowing growth overseas. We get more from Bloomberg's John Ehrlichman.
It was a big miss. Netflix itself is acknowledging it's going to be a very difficult couple of years. You've got Disney coming out with their streaming service, a bunch of other players that are going to be launching services. They acknowledge the fact that in some markets where they were raising prices in anticipation of some of those new services, they got to get those price hikes in before the other services launch. That may have hurt their subscriber numbers, but people do tend to freak out when Netflix falls short.
Netflix lost 130,000 U.S. customers while adding 2.8 million international subscribers in the second quarter. That was half of what the company predicted.
Those results from Netflix weighed on sentiment in Asia overnight, with traders worrying it could be an ominous sign for earnings season. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Shares slid across most of the region. Equity indexes in Tokyo down around 2%. A Nikkei report that Canon's operating profit could plunge 40% this year, weighing on sentiment along with a stronger yen. It was, in fact, the worst session for Japanese stocks in more than 3 months, also impacted by weak export numbers, showing shipments fell for a seventh straight month in June. The Kospi also lower in South Korea, despite a rate cut from the Bank of Korea, which surprised some in the market. Korea's central bank also cutting its inflation and growth targets amid the global economic slowdown, but the won gained. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. That rate cut from South Korea failed to stem a slide in stocks, with the Kospi closing 0.33% lower. Mark Cranfield's global macro strategist for Bloomberg.
It must be a bit disconcerting for people who think that the Fed is going to bail everybody out with a rate cut later this month. The reaction has not been all that positive. It's not just Asian stocks which are lower. We're also seeing the S&P 500 futures falling as well. So central banks were supposedly give more liquidity, is supposed to improve the mood of the equity market. That is not happening. And so with the Fed coming along later this month, it could be a bit of a worry here. If investors were relying on that, this is not a good sign.
South Korea's benchmark rate is now just 0.25% above a record low, and bond markets suggest the central bank will cut rates again this year.
On the heels of those poor results from Netflix, we're also seeing earnings fall short in Europe. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. We have some major companies posting sales declines and cutting their forecasts. German software company SAP is reporting a decrease in growth and new cloud bookings. Richemont is out with a surprise drop in revenue from its watch business. And fashion retailer ASOS is cutting its profit guidance. That has stocks in Europe lower across the board, though we do have some positive results from Novartis. The Swiss drug maker is raising its earnings outlook for the second time this year. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Roger, thanks. It's going to be a busy day for earnings here in the U.S., too. We get results from more than two dozen companies, including Morgan Stanley, United Health, Honeywell, and Microsoft. Watch for earnings from Morgan Stanley just before 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
Facebook doesn't report until next week, but the company is feeling the heat today after 2 days of battering on Capitol Hill. Members of the House grilled Facebook's head of blockchain yesterday about its proposed digital currency. Now the chair of the House Financial Services Committee wants CEO Mark Zuckerberg to appear before Congress. Maxine Waters spoke to Bloomberg Radio.
This is a big idea that's born out of Facebook. If he's big enough to create an idea that is global in nature, then he should be big enough to come and talk to us about it.
House Financial Services Chairwoman Maxine Waters speaking with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On. You can catch Sound On weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
Meanwhile, on the trade front, when it comes to talks between the U.S. and China, slow progress is raising doubts about whether they'll actually return to the negotiating table. Both sides are reportedly far apart on initial demands concerning sanctions on Huawei and the purchase of U.S. agricultural products. We get more from Bloomberg's Christine Burke.
The latest headlines making the rounds are that these talks have stalled, and really that comes down to Huawei, at least according to the reports from Dow Jones. There's also a piece out in the Global Times saying that Beijing wants to see the U.S. become a bit more realistic about purchases of American goods, so basically wants the U.S. to start targeting some more realistic level of purchases if talks are going to go ahead and negotiations are going to get back on track.
Sources tell Bloomberg the prospect of a comprehensive trade agreement ahead of the 2020 election seems like a remote possibility. Bloomberg News has also learned Beijing wants the White House to issue licenses for companies to resume shipments to Huawei before buying more U.S. crops.
And futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down about 6 points, Dow futures down 72, NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.81%. The euro is at 1.1238 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2484. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Iran's foreign minister is criticizing the White House for pulling out of the 2015 nuclear agreement. Javad Zarif tells Bloomberg Iran will continue to breach caps on enriched uranium.
The United States has basically, in my view, shot itself in the foot by withdrawing from this agreement.
At the same time, the foreign minister claims Iran will not build a nuclear weapon because of religious beliefs.
The supreme leader had made a commitment, a religious commitment, which is not breakable. His religious view is that nuclear weapons are forbidden.
In a wide-ranging interview with Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite, Iran's foreign minister also addressed recent violence in the Strait of Hormuz, saying Iran could close the waterway but doesn't want to.
We certainly have the ability to do it, but we certainly don't want to do it because Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf are our lifeline.
About one-third of the world's seaborne crude passes through the Strait of Hormuz, at least it did last year. In May and June, six tankers were attacked in the region. President Trump attended a rally in North Carolina. President Trump kept up his criticism of the four freshman congresswomen. The president made claims that Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar has made anti-Semitic statements in the past.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
The crowd was chanting, "Send her back." Omar came to the U.S. as a refugee from war-torn Somalia as a child. The Defense Department says the Trump administration will deploy about 2,100 more troops to help secure the southern land border of the United States. The House has voted that Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross are in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with subpoenas related to a decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. The House has also rebuffed a bid to impeach President Trump. Financier Jeffrey Epstein is set to find out today whether he will be granted bail. A federal judge in New York has taken several days to think about it and is set to decide whether to grant Epstein's request to be let out on bail while he is being prosecuted for sex trafficking. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets may have struggled in the first half, but that's why they play 162 games.
Alonso hits one in the air, way back to left. This one's headed to the upper deck and halfway up it. Pete Alonso with a titanic home run. How's that for your home run derby myth?
Mets radio 14-4. They wallop the Twins in the Twin Cities to sweep the brief two-game set. They've won four in a row. Alonso asked about admiring his home run afterwards. Hard not to, especially for a rookie.
No, I mean, it just felt good off the bat, and I just knew it was gone as soon as I hit it. That's all I got. That's why I got to watch it a little bit if you get a ball so you know where it goes.
Jason Vargas turned in a quality start, earning the win, as it's on to San Francisco to meet another surging team, the Giants, who've won five in a row, and they've climbed out of the cellar into third place. First pitch is at 9:45. Noah Syndergaard takes on lefty Madison Bumgarner. Across the bay, the A's are the hottest team in the show. They've won six straight. They down Seattle 10-2. Dodgers two hit the Phillies en route to a win, while the Red Sox edge Boston 5-4. Now trail the Yankees by 9.5. Top two teams in the East, the Yankees and Rays, were postponed at the stadium. They'll try for a doubleheader starting this afternoon. In golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship is underway from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Scores have started out low. It's a logjam atop the board at 2-under on the back nine. Phil Mickelson struggled, plus two on the front. Tiger tees off at 10:10 Eastern, 10 minutes behind Johnson. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thanks. And United Talent Agency, the Hollywood firm that represents Angelina Jolie and Harrison Ford, is pushing into professional sports in a deal with LeBron James's agent. Rich Paul's Clutch Sports represents James, as well as Anthony Davis and several other NBA superstars. The companies say UTA made a significant investment in Clutch, though they didn't provide more specific terms. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks falling in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures amid deepening concerns about the outlook for corporate earnings and global trade. The dollar is slipping while treasuries are mostly steady. NASDAQ futures are falling after Netflix's surprise loss of U.S. customers last quarter sent its shares lower. They're down more than 11% this morning. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 56, NASDAQ futures down 16, the DAX in Germany's down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $56.77 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $14.23.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1239 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2480, and the yen 107.75. Today we get earnings from companies including Morgan Stanley and Microsoft. We also look for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. Attendance leading indicators. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. shot itself in the foot by pulling out of the nuclear accord with Tehran. In an interview with Bloomberg, Javad Zarif also accused European countries that are part of the agreement of failing to carry out their own commitments under the 2015 deal and after the U.S. withdrawal. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting the U.S. is preparing to send 500 troops to Saudi Arabia in response to rising tensions with Iran. President Trump kept up his criticism of four freshman congresswomen at a rally in North Carolina last night. President Trump did not back down from saying they should go back to where they came from if they don't like it here. In baseball, the Mets won going away against the Twins 14-4. The Yankees game was postponed. The Orioles down the Nationals 9-2. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants all winners. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall. Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Kit Jukes is with us now, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Thanks, as always, for being with us, Kit. And as Karen mentioned, earnings season off to a disappointing start, sending stock indices lower. How is it playing out in the bond market?
Bond yields are back down again across the board. We're not outside the range we've been in for the last bit, but we're back down to the levels that we were at after the payroll numbers, whatever that is, 2 weeks ago now. And so all the kind of more recent rises have been wiped out as the market refocuses, is getting the message from the Fed that they're cutting rates, and the market is beginning to price more in for later on this year again.
So is there a case to be made then with the way earnings are playing out for a deeper cut from the Federal Reserve this month?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that the message has been so clear, but 25 this month and then see how it pans out. But in all probability, we'll get more before the end of the year as well. I think it would be confusing to mess around with that message. And for all the weakness in the earnings and what that might mean about growth going further forwards, you know, the most recent economic data have been at worst mixed, sort of a nowcast of where the U.S. economy is. It doesn't justify a whole string of rate cuts. I think those who think, and I definitely think, that the downturn in corporate profitability in the States is a we should warn us that we'll see more of a slowdown through 2020, but that's further down the track.
Yeah, you raise a good point there, particularly with the consumer showing some resilience in the face of a lot of these, global headwinds. Does that sort of bolster the case for the U.S. economy going forward?
I think it tells you that the U.S. economy is not falling off the edge of a cliff. I think that, if there's going to be a recession in the States, it's a 2020, not a 2019 story. This is not 2008. This might be, I don't want to even say it's 2007, because that's completely the wrong way to look at it. This is the early stages of the kind of slowdowns we saw in much milder recessions. The one at the end of the 1990s is a better case of what could still happen. And the Federal Reserve's trying to get ahead of that to soften that blow. This is a very aging economic cycle that took a shock from fiscal policy, a sugar rush followed by, I don't know, a sugar low, but it's still going at this point in time.
What effect does the faltering U.S.-China trade situation have on the outlook for this cycle? Bloomberg News is reporting this morning that trade talks with China might not be going much of anywhere. There might be some disagreement over, what the terms of coming back to the negotiating table might be.
Yeah, look, we had some more Japanese trade numbers this morning, significant year-over-year declines in both exports and imports for one of the most trade-sensitive economies in the world. We're continuing to see soft economic data coming out of Germany relative to the rest of Europe, which isn't usually that way around. And that, again, is because they're the most sensitive economy to China, really, of the big major economies, and very sort of manufacturing trade-sensitive. So, I think you could argue that global trade's in a recession. I think you could argue that this is going to continue to be a significant growth drag on a lot of, certainly, Asian trade-sensitive economies, and it means that while we have a mild global slowdown, it's a very synchronized global slowdown at this point in time, and I think that's the impact of the trade piece. But the question at that point is, I think that's a given. It's how much it stretches beyond manufacturing, industrial production, and trade-sensitive sectors.
So given all that, in our last 30 seconds here, where do you find yield in this environment?
I don't think you find much yield in this environment. People are pushing out. In Europe, they're going to see you can get some yield if you go out to 30-year Italian debt. People are pushing out further that way. And I think, to be honest, if we get half-decent economic data over the weeks to come, I think people are going to be lured back into emerging market debt in a fairly enthusiastic way, because that's where the yield lives. Now, if the global economy does roll over at the back end of this year, they'd better not stay in those trades for too long. But, otherwise, I mean, the choice is either go and get yield where there is, some, not negative, or go and hide under a rock and make sure you don't lose any money.
SocGen's Kit Jukes. Always good talking to you. Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. And taking a look at the U.S. bond market right now, the 10-year is down 2/32nds, yield 2.05%, 2-year treasuries 1.81%, and the 30-year is at 2.56%. Futures on Wall Street pointed lower. S&P futures down almost 4 points now. Dow futures down 56 points, and NASDAQ futures down 15 and a half. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we're watching Netflix in the pre-market after the streaming service's worst quarter since it mailed out DVDs. Plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance on this Thursday morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world amid deepening concerns about the outlook for corporate earnings and global trade. On the earnings front, shares of Netflix are down more than 10% after the company reported a drop in U.S. customers and slower growth overseas. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The world's largest paid online TV network said it lost 130,000 customers in the U.S., the result of higher prices and a weak slate. It signed up 2.7 million subscribers globally in the period, also missing projections. The company forecasts 7 million new signups this quarter, as several top shows such as Stranger Things and Orange is the New Black return to the service. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Shares of IBM are down 1%. The company reported its fourth consecutive quarterly revenue decline, and executives did not answer questions on how its Red Hat acquisition will help growth in cloud computing.
Alcoa shares dropped more than 3% in late trading. It cut its forecast for a global aluminum demand for the second time in 3 months.
In Germany, shares of SAP are down almost 6%. The software maker's new cloud bookings slowed in the second quarter.
This morning, we get another reading on the banking industry when Morgan Stanley reports earnings. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Morgan Stanley's second quarter revenue may have been hurt by lower trading, though asset prices should help support pre-tax margins for the company's wealth unit. Equity IPO fees were likely a source of strength in the second quarter, and a pickup in announced mergers and acquisitions should fuel the outlook for the third quarter. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And coming up today, Microsoft, United Health, and Danaher lead more than 20 companies reporting earnings.
And on the trade front, when it comes to talks between the U.S. and China, slow progress on initial demands from Presidents Trump and Xi is raising doubts about whether both sides will return to the negotiating table. Bloomberg News has also learned Beijing wants the White House to issue licenses for companies to resume shipments to Huawei before it'll buy more U.S. crops.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nds, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.82%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 13 cents at $56.91 a barrel. And COMEX gold down about 0.1% on $1.10. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has his eye on what is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Iran's top diplomat in a Bloomberg interview addressed U.S. allegations that his country has never given up its goal of building nuclear weapons. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Even as Iran says it's enriching uranium to higher levels than its nuclear deal allowed, and as its foreign minister tells Bloomberg that Iran has the ability to pursue nuclear weapons very rapidly, Javad Zarif says Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei made a religious commitment which is not breakable.
His religious view is that nuclear weapons are forbidden. Haram in Islamic terminology.
Pressed by Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite on how to engage with the U.S. in a way that eases tensions, Zarif suggested the burden falls on President Trump. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Donald Trump went after four freshman Democratic lawmakers one by one after previously tweeting that they should go back to their home countries if they have complaints about the U.S. At a rally last night in Greenville, North Carolina, Trump began by verbally attacking Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota as the crowd chanted, "Send her back." The president also says he has a message to, quote, the hate-filled extremists on the left.
They're always telling us how to run it, how to do this, how to do that. You know what? If they don't love it, tell them to leave it.
The House has voted on two issues involving the Trump administration. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The first, the House has voted that Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross are in criminal contempt of Congress. This involves allegations that they're withholding documents on the now-canceled plans to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. And it also has rebuffed the bid to impeach Donald Trump amid resistance from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have six committees that are working on following the facts in terms of any abuse of power, obstruction of justice, and the rest.
This motion was more narrowly based on the weekend tweets that have been characterized by Democrats as racist. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Severe storms that moved through the tri-state area caused flooding, downed trees, and left at least one person dead in Connecticut. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets just didn't sweep anybody. They took down first place Minnesota and on the road.
0-2. Smith swings, high fly, deep right field. Marwin Gonzalez spun around, and he watches this one clear for a home run that hang over the fence and right. If it clears the limestone, it's a big fly, and Dom Smith delivers in a pinch, literally.
New York scoring 12 of their 14 in the final three innings, which included a tape measure upper deck blast from home run champion and rookie Pete Alonso. Don't sleep on the Mets just yet, says manager Mickey Callaway.
It gives us some momentum going into another series, a four-game series against a team that we can do some more damage against and continue to strive for our goal, and that's to make the postseason. Look, we're getting closer. We're inching closer and closer. It's not out of the realm of possibility, and that's what we're focusing our sights on, is getting into the postseason this year.
His optimistic tone, thanks to them winning four straight, as it's on to the West Coast, where they'll take on the Giants tonight at 9:45. Madison Bumgarner hosts Noah Syndergaard. Giants have won five in a row after a four-game sweep in Colorado. Oakland's the hottest team in the show. They picked up their sixth straight, clubbing Seattle 10-2. L.A. Dodgers two-hit Philadelphia, winning 7-2, and Boston edged Toronto 5-4. Tampa Bay and New York were postponed in the Bronx. They'll play a twin bill starting this afternoon. And they're off and running at the 148th Open Championship from Northern Ireland's Royal Portrush. No one thus far able to shoot below 3-under on the front nine. Phil Mickelson struggled. Dustin Johnson tees off at 10 a.m. Eastern, just 10 minutes ahead of Tiger Woods, who's in search of his second major of the year. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story, the new workers of the world. Also in this week's issue, how nerd culture has created business opportunities for Dungeons & Dragons fans. Mary Pallon wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Now there's this wave of nostalgia where people are picking up the game again, and I think we can credit Stranger Things and Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and kind of the more mainstreaming of nerd culture for some of that.
Learn more about this new campaign and read other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro. Good morning, Martin.
Morning, Nathan. Apartment building sales in New York City are plummeting because of a new rent law. Appears to be scaring away investors. In the first half of the year, sales fell 48% from the same period a year ago. That's the biggest decline for any six-month period going back to 2009. The state legislature rewrote the rules on stabilized rents, capping the potential for increases. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are suing the IRS and Treasury Department over one of the most contentious aspects of the 2017 tax law, the SALT cap. At issue here, the recent rules limiting workarounds of the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions. The states wanted to allow tax credits for donations to charitable funds. The new rules prohibit them. And New Jersey Transit will not raise fares in its $3.8 billion budget. It includes the largest state subsidy in at least 17 years to help the struggling commuter railroad rebuild. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Martin DeCaro. Nathan.
All right, Martin, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team now for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potaskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Disney's response to a Disney heiress's criticisms.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Alcoa cut its forecast for aluminum demand for the second time in 3 months.
I'm Roger Hearing. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we're reporting on the Tory leadership frontrunner Boris Johnson, who looks like he's managing expectations of a US-UK trade deal that won't happen quickly.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, United Airlines is prodding Boeing for details on a proposed new jet for mid-distance flights, even as Boeing races to get its workhorse 737 MAX back into the air.
I'm Joan Doniger, telling 1010 Winds listeners in New York about Dean and DeLuca's battle for survival.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And another story we're watching this morning, President Trump deciding whether to intervene in the Pentagon's giant cloud computing contract. Amazon and Microsoft are the favorites to be awarded the deal. It could be worth $10 billion. But Bloomberg News has learned Republican lawmakers are complaining that some companies like Oracle have been frozen out of the competition. S&P futures down 3 points right now. Dow futures down 58. NASDAQ futures down almost 17 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We do have this headline. Crossing the Bloomberg, Qualcomm was fined $272 million by the European Union antitrust regulators for deliberately pricing some chips so low they could eliminate a smaller rival. We're watching Qualcomm shares this morning. They're down 1.4% in early trading. Meanwhile, stocks are falling in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 63, NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 10 cents at $56.88 a barrel. And COMEX gold, that'll change down a dollar to $14.2230 an ounce. The euro, 1.1231 against the dollar, and the yen, 107.76. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump drew cheers last night at a rally in North Carolina as he criticized the four liberal congresswomen of color he's been attacking all week. Trump called the House Democrats hate-filled extremists who want to tear down the country. The latest on the 9/11 bill to fund the first responders has been held up. That is because the Senate was ready to vote, but Republican Senator Rand Paul decided that he had objections to the spending measure. Then we talked to Kirsten Gillibrand about her feelings.
Enough of the political games. Our 9/11 first responders and the entire nation are watching to see if this body actually cares.
In baseball, the Mets won going away against the Twins. The Yankees game postponed. The Orioles down the Nationals. The Red Sox, the A's, and the Giants were all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
At 5:49 on Wall Street, it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, and Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb joins us this morning from our London bureau with a look at a European Commission investigation into Amazon. Good morning, Alex. Before we dive in, remind us what it is the EC is investigating with the e-commerce giant.
So Amazon fundamentally sells products in two ways. On the one hand, you've got the classic e-commerce offering where it buys a product from a supplier and then sells it to an end customer. That's just the Amazon storefront. Amazon also has the marketplace where you as a vendor can place your products on Amazon, and Amazon essentially connects you with a buyer. Amazon doesn't actually necessarily need to warehouse those goods, distribute them itself. You could do that all yourself. You could also pay Amazon for that. Now, the concern is from the European Commission that Amazon looks at some of those marketplace products, sees they're doing really well, and goes, you know what, we should do that. And they copy this, that sort of product, they get into the space and undercut them on price. And that is the thing, if it transpires to be true, could be anti-competitive and could result in significant fines.
And you're arguing in your piece that if that is true, it wouldn't really make much strategic sense for Amazon to do this. Why?
It seems to have been exposing itself to a huge amount of regulatory risk for a product approach which is actually less profitable. If you're just a platform and you're connecting the seller to the buyer, you're taking a cut of that sale without any significant upfront cost. If you're buying a product, you of course have the incremental cost of actually purchasing it, of warehousing it, of distributing it all yourself. And so the profit, the margin profile for that classic e-commerce model is worse than if you're simply a marketplace and if you're a platform. So I looked at some of the figures, and Amazon says about 1% of its products, retail offering, are own brand. That probably excludes things like Echo smart speakers and Fire Stick for television. But 1% of its of that total would be something like $1.4 billion. And that's $1.4 billion in annual revenue. The profits like to be far less than that. So for very little profit improvement, they've potentially put themselves at risk of billions of dollars in fines. And it just seems to have been a desperately short-sighted approach.
But when you talk about a share of the business being that low at 1%, does Amazon see this as a source for future growth? Could that be part of the reason why it might be taking this strategic approach?
And clearly, it's an effort to grow top line growth, to improve the top line. And that's, I guess, often been Amazon's approach. They're obsessed with growing revenue and profit profile that comes underneath it is very much an afterthought. Frankly, its retail offerings as a whole aren't terribly profitable. It makes all the profit from Amazon Web Services, its cloud business. There is one corollary effect of this, this approach of imitating or bringing your own brand products, and that is that it undercuts others on price. So, for example, if you make a coffee machine and you're selling it on Amazon, and Amazon says, do you know what, we're going to make our own coffee machine and we're going to sell it for 20% less than you, that means that company is then under pressure to bring the price of its product down as well. So you have an effect of bringing the price of those products down across the board, and of course the cheaper products are, the more likely people are to buy them, and so again that could drive Amazon's top line. But it's very hard to quantify that effect, and frankly, if they're copying products which are already selling very well, one wonders whether it was actually necessary to do it, and whether they really, pursued this strategy for the best-selling products in order to reduce the price.
Only about 30 seconds left here. Could this be another avenue for the U.S. to investigate Amazon?
I think so, yes. There were certainly some questions on this in congressional hearings the other day. And often what happens in Europe is then subsequently followed stateside. So it's a huge regulatory risk that, could have a domino effect globally.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb with us from London this morning. Again, Alex, thanks for being here on Daybreak. And you can read more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association International Trade or Business Dispute. Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The IRS has begun to take action against people it believes are not correctly reporting the income and tax they owe on virtual currency transactions. The EPA's latest air quality data show nationwide declines in air pollutants that lead to smog and haze formation haven't translated into fewer bad air days in some major American cities. And the House Energy and Commerce Committee has passed the No Surprises Act. The measure would protect patients from unexpected bills and emergencies and when procedures are done at in-network hospitals by out-of-network doctors.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now another legal development we're watching. The Trump administration's record at the Supreme Court. The White House is represented at the High Court by the Solicitor General's office, which posted a better record this term than it did last term. But it still barely passes the 50-50 mark, winning 12 cases and losing 10. We get more from Bloomberg's June Grasso, who speaks with South Texas College of Law professor Josh Blackman.
Josh, this isn't just the Trump administration. It's a decades-long slide for the Solicitor General. Can it be explained by the kinds of cases, the quality of the lawyers, or something else entirely?
The U.S. government has an office called the Solicitor General, and this is usually a lawyer and his staff who are trained to practice only before the U.S. Supreme Court. And for decades, the U.S. government had a bit of a monopoly. They were the only ones who had this sort of specialized practice. But over the last two or three decades, private law firms have begun to staff up and become competent to argue before the Supreme Court. Indeed, a lot of these law firms will hire outgoing Supreme Court clerks. And the competition is fierce. Believe it or not, they pay bonuses up to $300,000 or more for someone fresh out of a clerkship in the Supreme Court. It's extremely competitive. And they do this to be able to go head-to-toe, head-to-head with the government, and they're starting to actually win a lot more cases at the high court.
The numbers of wins when the government is a party to the case is contrasted to the record of 22 wins and 6 losses when the government just takes a position in a case, despite not being a party, as an amicus or a friend of the court. How do you account for that difference?
If you think about it, the government can pick and choose when they want to be friends of the court, what's called an amicus curiae, but they can't choose when someone else drags them to court. So let's say someone sues the federal government, the lower court rules for the federal government, and then the plaintiff appeals. That means the Supreme Court is likely going to reverse the government. So when the government can pick and choose their cases, their win-loss record is much better. When they're being dragged to court involuntarily, they have a much bigger chance of losing.
And then South Texas College of Law professor Josh Blackman speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are down about 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down 21, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.81%, and the euro at 1.1231 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.